Presbyterian Church, Pastor Jeff here, and we are certainly under different circumstances than we normally gather together. You may have received an email yesterday, a letter from the church, in regards to some of the changes that are happening. If you have not had the opportunity to read that yet, please go to our church website, and you can find all the details of some of the changes that will be happening in the near future. I want us to start in our time of worship this morning, and we are Facebook Live, or perhaps you are watching this in the recording version of that. But I wanted to start with Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And hear these words. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I think that those words can be a great reminder for us in the midst of change and in the midst of different things happening, that we need not be anxious, but we need to place our hope and our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that during this season and during this time, there are different things that are happening in our lives, and we need to be exuding that sense of peace to others, that they would feel that in who we are. As your pastor of congregational care, over the last week, things have been very different for me. I have received calls from nursing homes and from hospitals indicating that they do not want any visitors to come. And what we can be doing is praying for those folks and calling them and reaching out to them to let them know how much we love and care for them. But it is so important during this time for us to listen to those things that we are being advised to do by others, to take care of those that are most vulnerable. You may find yourself in the category of thinking, well, nothing's going to happen to me if I catch the virus. And yet, we need to not be thinking of ourselves in this time, but be thinking of others. And I love the passage in Philippians chapter 2 that says, look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Be thinking about your parents or your grandparents or perhaps your grandkids, who might be those that are most vulnerable in the season. And I think that will help us to set our eyes on where Christ would want us to be looking. I'd also invite you in this season to think of the opportunity that is present. All of a sudden, many of us are at home, and we have time on our hands. And many of you may have watched every Netflix show that you liked already. Well, there are opportunities to fill yourself with the things of God that God would want you to place into your heart. Maybe it's time of prayer, maybe it's reading scripture, maybe it's simply slowing down enough to recognize that God has great things in store for you, even in the midst of this time. And I think we also find ourselves as doers, wanting to do things. What can I do? How can I help? We will certainly notify you at the appropriate time of when we will call on you for those things. But at this time, I think we need to be still and know that God is God and that we are not, and that we can be people that can be that calming presence to others during this time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day. This certainly is a unique time, and I'd ask your presence with us in the midst of this season of different things. God, I pray for people around the world and the different things that are happening, the challenges that are present in other places. God, it can be so easy for us in our own little bubble to not be aware of what it is that is happening with your children around this globe. But I pray that you would help us to be mindful of them this day. God, I pray for those that are in different places and seeking to return home, and ask that you would place your hand upon them and allow them to make safe passage home. I also pray that you would help us, God, to have eyes to see others, that we would be reminded of Matt's words in his sermon last week, to be thinking of the least of these, God, I know so often I'm thinking of my own needs and not looking to the needs of others. So I pray that you would help me, that you would help us to have the eyes to see and recognize where it is that you long for us to be. We lift up these things and pray them in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. If you are a kid at home, I want you to stand up, and I'm going to say good morning again, but just like we do at church on Sundays, I want you, when you're here, you yell good morning back. I want you to do that right at home where you are. So stand up. Good morning. I hope you yelled really loudly. You can sit down, and this is a message just for you, but we'll let all of our adult friends listen in too. It's pretty crazy, isn't it? That I'm here at the church and you're there at home, but we still get to talk together, which is pretty cool. It's something that we've never done before. It's a big change. And in life, there's going to be a lot of change. You've probably experienced a lot of change already. In fact, I know you have, because think about it. My guess is that most of you are probably not wearing diapers anymore, right? Because you've changed. You've gotten older and you've grown bigger. You've probably had to get some new clothes along the way. You've probably made some new friends. At some point, you've probably tried some new activities and new things that you love to do. And you may have made some changes. You may have changed the favorite color that you have or your favorite thing to eat. Change is something that's part of our lives. Sometimes, change is something that we know is coming. So when you get to the end of a school year, you know that when you come back, you probably are going to have a teacher that has changed. Sometimes change happens, and like today, we don't know it's coming. Last week when we were here in church, I had no idea that we would be doing this with me here and you at home today. And all the time that I've been a pastor, I haven't done this before. So this is new for me too. But here's the thing that I want you to know, that as things in our lives change, there's one thing that will never change. God does not change. In the book of Hebrews, we are told that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means the things that we know to be true about Jesus, that Jesus is real and true and alive, that Jesus is with us and loves us, those things will never change. And so this week, I have something also new I want you to do. I have a coloring page that has that verse on it. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are going to put a link to this on our website later today, so you'll have to check back. But I want you to ask the people that you're with today to print this out for you, and you can color this at home or you can decorate it any way you want, and then hang it up somewhere in your house where you can be reminded that Jesus never changes. And so put that up. I would love to see your art, and so I would also love if you ask someone to take a picture, and you can email it to me here at the church, and then I'll get to see what it is that you created. So the good news for us to know and remember today and this week is that God never changes. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he never changes and that your love for us never changes as well. So be with us today and this week. Help us to follow you as your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. But how can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. I'm Jessica Conker, one of our associate pastors here at Mandarin Presbyterian Church, and I have the unique privilege of being the first to give a sermon live. I'm so excited to be with you, and at the same time, I feel a little sad that we are not all together this morning, but I'm thankful that God is so powerful and that His Spirit, I know, is with you and with us as we're worshiping here and you're worshiping at home. We're going to continue today in our series on the kingdom of God. This is a message that Jesus preached very frequently in his sermons about God's kingdom and how it's not something far off in the distance, but it's here and now. And today we're going to be talking about how Jesus said to be a part of the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. We're going to talk about how being born again means that we depend on God. I think that's a particularly important message today when there are so many things that are changing. But as Jen said, we know God never changes. And so we can always put our dependence on God. I know many of you guys know my husband, Chris, who's also a pastor here at the church. And I know maybe you've noticed there's a little bit of a height difference between the two of us, just a small one. Well, I remember one of the first times when Chris and I were dating, we went to the grocery store, and we were walking around, and Chris reached up and just easily grabbed something from the top shelf. I thought to myself, I could get used to this. This is pretty nice. Chris and I actually also played on the same intramural basketball team, believe it or not. And Chris was pretty good. Actually, I thought he was really good. But I had some, let's say, shortcomings. Wow, I can hear you guys laughing all the way from home. That's awesome. Well, you know, one of the reasons that I married Chris is because of his patience and kindness, and also because it means I don't have to carry a ladder with me everywhere I go. It's awesome. Now imagine for a minute that Chris and I go to the grocery store. Now imagine if you can. I know this is hard to imagine, but imagine that there is no toilet paper on the shelves. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine that? No toilet paper. Okay, except for one last roll of toilet paper. And it's on the very top shelf of the grocery store. Now imagine that I'm with Chris, but I think to myself, you know, I'm not going to ask him to help me. Instead, I'm going to try to jump up and reach that last roll of toilet paper all by myself. Now you'd probably say to me, Jessica, that's silly. Why wouldn't you just ask Chris to get that for you? But the truth is, I think oftentimes we don't like asking for help. I don't like asking for help. I know I'll be at the grocery store another time with my kids, and they'll be screaming in the cart. Yes, pastors' kids scream in grocery carts. And the checkout person will ask me, oh, would you like help to your car? And I'll say, no, thanks. I've totally got this. We don't like to ask for help. And we hear kids say this all the time. I want to do it myself. We teach kids to be self-reliant. Brush your teeth. Pack your lunch. And this is a good thing. This is a good thing. We don't want our kids to depend on us for everything. We want our kids to be independent. We want them to grow up. And as Americans, we have this mentality. We can pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. You can dream it. You can achieve it. But I think our message today, we see a very counterintuitive, countercultural message from Jesus. He's challenging our notion of self-reliance for our soul. Jesus is saying when it comes to the kingdom of God, our life with God, we can't just rely on ourselves. We need to depend on God. I think for many of us, the coronavirus has really caused us to think about what is it that we depend on? Nations have closed their borders, schools and businesses are closed, the economy and stock market are struggling. For many of us, the things that we have relied on, the plans that we've made for the future, are now filled with some question marks. This outbreak challenges us to consider, what is it that we depend on? And is that a safe place to depend? One night, a man comes to Jesus in the dark. John 3:1 says, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.'" Now, in this passage, we see that Nicodemus is an admirer of Jesus. He believes Jesus is a good teacher. He's amazed by the miracles that Jesus is doing. But Nicodemus doesn't want to place his dependence on Jesus. So what is keeping Nicodemus from depending on Jesus? What does he need to do? Jesus tells him in John 3:3, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." So if Nicodemus wants to enter the kingdom of God, he must be born again. He must move from self-reliance to depending on God. When our daughter Gracie was born a little over a year ago, I marveled at how small and fragile she was. Tiny fingers, tiny toes. She was so helpless. She couldn't even hold her own head up. She relied on us to feed her and dress her, to change her, to keep her safe. I mean, when I was a baby, I was making my own bottle, right? I changed my own diaper, but not Gracie. She depended on us for everything. So today, we have a picture of a baby to remind us that being part of the kingdom of God means being born again, means depending on God instead of relying on ourselves. So what does it look like for Nicodemus to be born again? What does it look like for him to depend on God? Well, the first step for Nicodemus would be to depend on God's grace rather than his own goodness. Nicodemus was a Jew and a Pharisee. As a Jew, he would have believed that he was one of God's chosen people, that he was in the in crowd. As a Pharisee, he would have considered himself to be a good person. He wasn't a murderer. He wasn't a thief. He went to worship. He probably tried to help other people. He did his best. But he ultimately wasn't going to depend on Jesus' goodness. Now, when we look around the world, we see brokenness all around us. We see sickness, poverty. We see marriages breaking up. the ugliness of politics. But let me tell you, it is not just in the world. There's something terribly wrong in me. I find myself waking up anxious in the middle of the night. I find myself getting jealous of others. I struggle with loneliness. The problems inside of me have names like fear and deceit and selfishness. The battle is not just out there, but it's in me. It's in us. Alexander Solzhenitsyn once said, "If only there were just evil people somewhere committing evil deeds and we could just separate them." But he said, "The line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being." The truth is, sin affects all of our hearts and lives. We need a savior. We need someone to save us from our sin and the consequences of sin. We can't save ourselves. We can't erase the stain of sin on our lives. Only Jesus' forgiveness and grace can cover that. But our dependence on Jesus does not end with a one-time forgiveness of sin. Paul says in Scripture that we need to die to sin. Being born again means we become a new creation. The old has gone. A new life has begun. And to live that life, to die to sin, to live a new life, we need to depend on God's grace every minute of the day. But it's easy to experience what I call reliance drift. Maybe you've experienced this before. Reliance drift is where we forget to depend on God as time goes by. We may have a moment where we have this total dependence on God. We ask him to forgive our sins. But then over time, we can revert to relying on ourselves again. Let me give you a picture of reliance drift in my life. I may start by just justifying a small sin, thinking nobody will notice. Or maybe I realize that I've hurt someone, but I don't stop to apologize. I might say I'm doing pretty good. At least I don't do what that person does. Or I might think things are going well and I don't need to pray. But I know when I am relying on God's grace, my entire mentality changes. I'm more aware of the places where I'm tempted to be envious of someone. I'm quicker to say sorry. I recognize God's grace every minute, and that I need God, not just one time, but every 86,000 seconds of the day. So being born again for Nicodemus means depending on God's grace rather than his own goodness. Second, being born again for Nicodemus means depending on God's love instead of relying on his own control. Nicodemus greatly admired Jesus' works and miracles, but he cared so much about his own reputation that he came to Jesus at night because he was clinging to those parts of his life that he didn't want to give over. He didn't trust Jesus' love for him. He didn't have a relationship with Jesus. Now, have any of you heard of a funambulist? No, I can't hear anyone. I guess none of you have heard of funambulist. Well, it's not someone who likes to have fun, though you might think it would be, but it is fun to say. So at home, I want you all to say funambulist. Awesome. Okay, a funambulist is someone who walks on a tightrope. Now, there have been many funambulists over the ages, but there's one great funambulist that stands above all the others, and his name was Charles Blondin. And Charles came over to the United States, and he wanted to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. So he strung this tightrope across Niagara Falls, and 100,000 people gathered to watch Charles Blondin walk across. Can you imagine that moment? He has no safety net underneath him. and he crosses all the way over. Tons of people are taking pictures of him. So he crosses over again, and he takes a picture of the crowd. And then he goes and he takes a chair and he puts it on the tightrope and he balances on the chair on the tightrope. Then he gets an oven and he cooks an omelet on the tightrope and he lowers it down to people who are on the Maid of the Mist, which is a boat that goes right by Niagara Falls. Then he gets a wheelbarrow. And he says to the crowd, "Do you believe I can do this?" And the crowd goes wild. They cheer. "We believe you can do it." And then Charles Blondin says, "Who is going to get in the wheelbarrow?" And then all of a sudden, it is completely quiet. 100,000 people are silent, except for one person. Named Harry Concord. Harry knew Charles. He had a relationship with him. He had seen Charles cross over Niagara Falls 100 times. So he gets in the wheelbarrow. Can you imagine that ride across Niagara Falls? Step by step. Can you imagine? He reaches the other side and the crowd cheers. Now, only one person trusted. Harry Concord had this trust in Jesus because he knew him. He had a relationship with him. The question for us is, do we trust God? Do we know God's love for us? Do you know that God's hands bear the scars of his love for you? Do you know that God thinks about you, prays for you, is jealous for you? Do you know God knows how many hairs are on your head? I think one of the things that keeps me clinging to control in my life is that I believe that God loves me in my head, but I don't believe that God loves me in my heart. Sometimes I don't depend on God's love. Sometimes I take it for granted. Sometimes I forget. But when I remember how much God loves me, when I claim it, when I cling to it as my rock, I don't want to hold anything back from God. When we recognize the unstoppable, all-consuming, powerful love of God for us, we can place more and more areas of our life into God's control because we know that God has got us. We can get in the wheelbarrow. Many of you maybe have had that moment where you depended on God. You said, "God, I'm getting in the wheelbarrow." But then as time goes on, we experience that reliance drift. We realize we're maybe not depending on God's love. Maybe there's areas of our life that we're holding back. Maybe it's a place of anxiety. Maybe it's a family member that we have a difficult relationship with. Maybe it's our finances. Maybe it's our dating life. Maybe it's a relationship with one of our children. What does it look like to trust God's love for you in those difficult places of your life? Finally, for Nicodemus to be born again, he must depend on the Spirit of God instead of relying on his own strength. Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." Nicodemus, we learn, is on the ruling council. He is a leader. He is wise. And he comes to Jesus in this conversation with his own strength instead of an openness to listening to the Spirit. And Jesus tells him, instead of relying on his own strength, he needs to be born of the Spirit, to depend on the Spirit's power. One night when I was in high school, I was driving home from a friend's house, and I was kind of new to driving. I just got my license, so I was not the best driver. And all of a sudden, as I'm driving, I hear this bump, and the car begins to kind of shake. And I keep going, but the car keeps bumping, and there's this terrible noise. And so I pull into a gas station, and I get out of the car, and I'm looking around the car. And right away, when I see the tire, I know what's wrong. The tire's completely flat. So in driver's ed, I learned how to change a tire. So I get out of the car, I get the spare tire out of the trunk, and then I think, okay, the only thing I need to do now is to lift up the car, right? So I get down, and I put my hands into the car, and I try to lift it up, and you know what happens? Nothing happens. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't try to lift up the car. I knew that I wouldn't be able to lift it up, but I did call my dad, and my dad reminded me that there's something in the car called a car jack. And so I get that out, and the car jack is amazing because it's this small thing, but if you put it in the right spot, you can just move a little tiny lever, and you can move an entire car by yourself. It's amazing. So I lift up the car, I put the spare tire on, and then I go on my way. When I think about how we can often depend on ourselves instead of the Spirit, it's like us trying to lift that car on our own. We can't rely on ourselves and our own strength. But when we ask for God's Spirit, it's like that car jack. It gives us this amazing power. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline." And I love the word power here in Greek. It's the word dunamis. It's the word where we get the word dynamite from. God's Spirit is this dynamite power that He gives to us. It's a power that can help us love when we feel afraid. It's a power that can help us love when we're tired, when we feel like we're at the end of our rope. It's a power that can give us self-discipline to live a life of love for others. God gives us the Spirit if we will but ask for it. The Spirit of power. It's available to all of us. A woman saw a father shopping with a fussy 2-year-old in a grocery store. And the man kept saying to his child, "Be patient, Billy," he would whisper. "You can handle this, Billy. It's going to be okay, Billy." And the woman said to him, "I don't mean to interrupt your shopping, but I just had to tell you how wonderful, lovingly, and patient you are with little Billy." And the man said, "Actually, my son's name is Patrick. My name is Billy." I love this little story because, just like this man, the Holy Spirit is available to whisper to us thoughts of love and joy and peace and power every moment of our life. All we have to do is stop and ask and listen. So we have a choice today. Will we depend on God's grace? Will we depend on God's love? Will we depend on God's Spirit to give us power? Or will we continue to rely on ourselves? Maybe you've never said, "I want to depend on God. I want to get in the wheelbarrow." Well, today we can have that moment where we can declare our dependence on God. Or maybe you have depended on God before in your life, but you've experienced that reliance drift where you have depended on your own goodness or your own strength. Today you have that chance to declare, again, I want to depend on you, God. I don't want to depend on myself. So we're going to have a moment. Let's pray together now and ask for God to give us that spirit of dependence on him. God, this morning we thank you that you are with us from our homes. You are with us wherever we go. What a great example of that this morning. And God, today we confess to you that our lives have been disrupted in many ways. We've experienced change. We've experienced just so many things in our world that are causing maybe anxiety. But God, today we remember that our dependence lies on you. And God, maybe for some of us, we want to depend on you for the first time. We want to depend on your grace to cover our sin. We want to depend on your love instead of controlling our lives. God, we want to depend on your spirit instead of our own strength. Lord, would you come and enliven us today by your Holy Spirit? Remind us that we are born again people, that we need you, God. We need to depend on you. Especially, God, during this time when things are changing so much, when a lot of us feel afraid or uncertain of the future, God, we pray that you would remind us that ultimately our hope is in you and nothing can separate us from your love in Jesus Christ. God, we claim that this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for worshiping with us. And we are just so excited to continue to worship with you in this way. We know that you are in our prayers, and we'll be continuing to update you on how you can continue to connect with the church and with others. And we invite you to join us at 9 o'clock next Sunday as we live stream, or to watch later on as we'll have our broadcast up on the website. So now, may the love of God, may the friendship of the Holy Spirit, and may the love of Jesus Christ be with you now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen.